Message about our commitment, our walk, our relationship to Jesus, and I'm calling our teaching tonight, Serve with a Passionate Heart. Serve with a Passionate Heart. And I think we're all in agreement that God is making servants out of us. He's putting that desire, that spirit, that heart within us to serve each other, to serve the body of Christ, and to serve our neighbor. And he has equipped us in which to do that. It's not actually impossible, because Christ in us, the hope of glory, has set his heart within each one of us. And his heart is to reach out and touch the world. But there is a way that he touches the world in and through each one of us. And many would all agree and say amen to that, but when the Lord begins to teach and show us how he reaches out and touches this world in and through us, that is where it sorts out the men from the boys. Because we realize that, well, we are certainly learning that he doesn't want our works. He doesn't want our good ideas. He actually doesn't want our help. What he does want from us is to obey and yield to the Holy Spirit. And I want us to turn to a passage in the scripture that we know very, very well, and we've had a lot of teaching on, but I think there's something yet more tonight that the Lord wants to reveal, and that is in John 21, and we'll look at verses 16 onwards. And it's in the context of where, as we know, the disciples, they fled, they left the Lord Jesus Christ when he was betrayed. And now we see where God is restoring and bringing them back. And we have this wonderful story here of Peter, where he's restored back in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll take it up in John 21, verse 15 onwards. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And Jesus said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, tend my sheep. And he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Three times in which Jesus speaks to Peter, and he speaks to him because he's speaking to him in such a way that he's opening his heart. And what he's doing here is getting Peter to listen to what he's saying. And this is what God does with us when he speaks into our lives, and when he touches our lives. He begins to expose our motives. He begins to expose our confession. He begins to expose those areas where we still don't quite believe. It's not dropped yet from the head to the heart. And Jesus was doing precisely this to Peter. We know that Peter said, I'll never forsake you. And we know at Jesus' betrayal, Peter, along with the disciples, they fled in fear and they forsook the Lord. And here we are seeing a wonderful story here of where the Lord is restoring Peter back into fellowship. Peter has actually fallen from the faith. And God is bringing him back now. And he brings him back in such a way that he's thinking about what Peter is going to do, his ministry, what God is going to do in and through him. Now, this principle works through all of us. But of course, he's addressing Peter here because we know earlier that Peter saw who Jesus was and had the revelation of Jesus, and he said, because you have a revelation of who I am, the Son of God, upon this church I will build, upon this stone I will build my church. And so the Lord is revealing here to him what it is he is building upon this stone, i.e. that is the church, the body of Christ. What is its message? What is its heart, its motive? And as we've just read here, he said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And what is the message that he says here? He doesn't say, well, come back and follow me and don't run away again, which is probably what a lot would say, or a lot of us would say to Peter. No, he doesn't say that. He says, feed my lambs. And this is why I'm calling this teaching tonight, serve with a passionate heart. Because Jesus is saying here to him, he's not saying to him, Peter, go and make clones, or convert to your way and thinking. Just go out and proclaim my name and say it in whatever way you like, as long as you say that God loves sinners, he loves the world, and he gave his only begotten son. No, none of that. He says, feed my lambs. So he's giving understanding to Peter that there is a feeding. These lambs need to be fed, and to be fed with something, of which, of course, later on, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, when they go into the upper room and they receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then they begin to understand what this feeding is all about. And again he challenges him again on the second time, and he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend to my sheep. So in other words, he comes back to sheep again, feeding them, tending. It means here to look after them, to love them, to take oversight over them. And the third time, he says exactly the same again to Peter, but this time Peter's grieved, because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things." In other words, the Lord challenged Peter three times to bring him to a place where he is silent before God. And he, in fact, what he's really saying here is, "Lord, you know all things. There's nothing more I can say. You know my heart. You know my destiny. You know my future. You know, because I've been called from the foundation of the world." He silenced him. And God has a way of silencing all of us, so that what he's trying to say to us drops that 18 inches from our heads to our hearts, because when it touches the heart, it makes a world of a difference. And this is what God is doing here in restoring Peter. He's appealing to the heart. He's touching his heart. And he's touching his heart with what? The Lord's love. He's showing him that I'm going to touch your heart, and I'm going to change this heart of stone to a heart of flesh, and you will feed my sheep. You will tend to my sheep. And this, brothers and sisters, is the principle that God works with every saint who loves the Lord Jesus Christ and who is baptized and baptized in the Holy Spirit, disciples of Christ, and who is set into the body of Christ. This is the work that God does with all of us. It's not just speaking to the fivefold ministry, to the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, but it is speaking to the whole of the assembly, the whole of God's body, those who are set. This is the heart and nature that God is and will work with each one of us if we walk as disciples of Christ. Note what I said at the beginning, that he's not called us to make clones, to not convert people to our way and our thinking and our problems or our prejudices or whatever it is. That is not what he's calling us to do. And yet, sadly, we see so much of that that can go on in Christendom and certainly in cults. One of the ways that you test the cult is that very often cults are producing clones. So they act and look alike and so on. That is often what happens. That is not how God calls us. And that is certainly not what the Christian gospel is about. He says here, "Look after my sheep," or "look after his sheep." In other words, he's saying, see that they get nourished in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, that can only be achieved if you know him, and indeed you are born again, filled with the Spirit, and you walk in relationship and covenant with him. If you do not know Jesus, then you cannot tend or feed his sheep, because you don't know what you're feeding. You don't know what you have. You don't know what to give to God's people if you've not met with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know that may sound quite elementary, but I think sadly we have got many in our Christian churches today who actually don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. They're committed to a ministry, or they're committed to a minister or a denomination, and that's really all they're producing. But that is not what Jesus is saying here, and certainly saying to Peter, and is saying to us. If we've truly met with the Lord, and we're truly born again, and we walk as disciples, then we're going to know in our hearts what we convey, what we share, what we do, how we come over. And this must be ministered to each other in the body of Christ. And for many, many years, God has been challenging us as a church about our attitudes, our hearts to each other and our brother and sister. And that we are set in the body to serve and not to be served. That's the heart and spirit of Almighty God. And when the Christian church begins to really grasp this, then we're going to begin to see a great change taking place. And we're going to see that light that the Christian church should be set on a hill, a light that is seen. Many churches are wanting revival. Many groups are wanting power with God. And so on, and we hear it over and over again, but they are not willing to serve. They want to be served. And those who will serve are those who are growing up in sonship, who are maturing and growing with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they walk also the way of the cross, which they too daily take up and follow the Lord. And here, in many ways, the Lord is challenging Peter here. You are going to grow up. You are going to mature in the faith. You are going to be a follower of me. Now, we know earlier Peter's zeal, how he spoke and said, I will not forsake you, and so on. We all know the story, and yet the Lord said, you will forsake me. And he did forsake him. Because he was immature. It wasn't yet in his heart. He was not yet having an understanding of who Jesus really was. But all of this is to come. How do we know? Because Jesus has pronounced it over his life. He's challenged him 3 times. And the 3rd time, Peter starts to get it. And this is why the word of God under the anointing is so essential for us. Because we need this word, we need this engrafted word, so that we get it. It eventually drops that 18 inches from our head to our hearts. And boy, when it drops, how we see it in a different way. And so often we bow our heads in shame where we were so ignorant and blind before. But God is opening our eyes that we may see. And one of the things he's opening our eyes to see is that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ with a passionate heart as we serve our brother and our sister and our neighbor also. God is making this very clear now in these last days. And he's challenging our motives as to why we come to the church. What are we coming to the church for? What is our motive? Is it because I can get something out of it? Or is it because I can have faith and I can live a prosperous life? Wow, you have missed it if that's the motive. The motive of coming and coming under this word is that he might work this compassionate heart within us, but we minister the life and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're going to see converts, if we're going to see souls saved and brought into the kingdom of God and into this church, then we have to present Jesus Christ, the passion and love of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ to this dying world. Otherwise, they're not going to respond. And each are responsible for this life and how we live and how we come over. This is very, very important what God is saying here, because you cannot hide behind this portion of scriptures here and just say, well, it's only just speaking to ministers. This is a principle that is speaking to the body of Christ. How do we know? Because that Jesus said, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. This is the message God is giving to this church, his church, that rock that he's building on. And everything stems from this. Everything stems when you have a heart to feed God's people, his sheep. When you have a heart to tend, to look after his people. Everything stems from that heart and spirit and attitude. What teaching is needed stems from this. What healing and deliverance is needed stems from this. What gifts God places in the church stems from this. Everything stems from this principle. And indeed, Peter went out and he obeyed what Jesus had said here. And we know, because history says, that even he also was a martyr. He laid his life down for his Savior and Lord. So it's quite simple, and yet we can miss it. And so we see that when we appropriate this, then we see that God doesn't make these clones. He's not making disciples following after my way and thinking and so on. No way. He is making disciples because the love of God has touched people's hearts. So it's not about us. It's about Christ in us, the hope of glory. And this is why I'm always saying, and will continue to say, that we step out of the way. We get out of the way so that this love that God has poured within our hearts pours out and reaches out into this dry, barren land that we live in. Because it's desperate for this touch. There's still a remnant out there that is desperate from this touch of Jesus. And you and I are to touch this dying world. You are the point of contact to touch this dying world. And either we're going to yield over to this and let God do this through us, or not. Because if we're always filled with ourselves, our own problems, our own needs, what I want, and so on, it's never going to work. Never in a million years. But this can only be achieved if you know him. You see, knowing him is not necessarily work or service, being busy, like so many Christians are. It's about discipleship, and it's based solely on devotion, loyalty to him. That is the first and foremost principle that you put in your life. It's loyalty, devotion to him and him alone. And that's what Jesus was saying here to Peter. Peter's very zealous. Peter's all full of good intentions. Let's get out and do it. Come on, don't let's fuss around. And what is he speaking here? He's coming to him in a devotional way. He's coming to him personally. He's giving him a personal message, a message from the Father's heart. And it takes three times in which then he finally begins to get it. And how do we know he gets it? Because God silences him and shows him that everything he said and everything he's done in the past is futile. It is only God who can do it in and through us. So this is what the Lord does with us, to bring us to this place where we see that it is only the Lord can do it in and through us. Let's turn to Luke 14. We know this one very well. But Luke 14, and take it up, and verse 26, and he says, if anyone come to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, children, brother, sister, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, what he's saying is we don't hate our family. That is not what he's saying here. We simply hate the alternative of putting them first before Jesus. That is what he's saying. So what is he revealing to us? He's revealing to us relationship. He's revealing to us as disciples, we're devoted and we're loyal to him first and foremost. And it's interesting, isn't it, that he places no pressure here. He raises no argument. He simply says, if you want it, it's what you want. That's what he's actually saying here. If anyone comes to me, that's the word if. He's not raising any argument. He's not raising a debate. He's not asking you to talk about it and decide on what. He says, if anyone wishes to come. That's the principle. It's if you want it. And many argue and bicker over this because they're not honest. And the honesty is they don't really want it. They go through the actions, the motions. But God knows our motive. He knows our heart. And that's what he challenges. He says, do you want it? And you will know if you want it, because you're going to follow him. You're going to be with him. You're going to go wherever he is. You're going to be wherever his pure word is being taught and preached. It's not rocket science to discern all of this. The reason you're here tonight, and I trust and believe this, is because it's what you want. It's your heart's desire. And he even puts that within our heart. Praise God, you don't have to work at a meeting like this. Either the affection for this meeting and to hear this word is either there or it's not there. And if it isn't there, then you can ask that it will be put there, because he'll do it. Ask that you may receive, that my Father may be glorified in heaven. The trouble is we're always asking for the wrong things. But he places no pressure here, or any argument. He simply says, if you want. So you see, the Holy Spirit has to reveal to us what Jesus is. Because otherwise we don't know. Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to reveal to you who Jesus really is? Why, there's so much we can still learn about him. Because the more we learn about him, the more God opens our eyes, the more we can serve his sheep and tend to his sheep. That's what this is all about. But the Holy Spirit, he has to reveal it all. He has to reveal to us even commitment. He has to reveal to us this devotion that we have to him first and foremost. It's called falling in love. And that's what's happening to us. The bride falls in love more and more with the bridegroom, because more and more is being revealed who Jesus is. We're learning more about him. And the more we learn about him, the more we want of him, and to be with him, and to follow him wherever he goes. So few, sadly, have a heart like that for the Lord. They see their devotion is tied up with the church that they're in, or the ministry that they've got, and how busy they are. As I say so many times, the most busiest people are quite often the most unspiritual. That's the sad fact. God hasn't called you to do, but to be first in his presence. And we know everything will stem from there. You see, we've got a substituted doctrinal belief for a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why so many are not devoted to him. They're not devoted to Jesus because there's a substitute gospel. Be busy. Go out. Evangelize. But the problem is they don't have the power. They don't have the experience. They've not really met with Jesus to affect and change lives. You see, brothers and sisters, what God is doing with you and me is to affect lives. When Jesus walked the earth, wherever he went, he affected lives. He affected situations. We know that. And that is what he's working within the body of Christ in the last days. That you make an effect wherever you go. And it's not you trying to do it, it's Christ in you that's doing it in and through you. That's what this is all about. And this is why you see Jesus is so offensive to the highly educated and to the religious people. That's because they're the ones who resist the word. Sadly, the highly educated probably will resist a teaching like this tonight because it's too easy. It's not complicated enough. It doesn't have enough facts. It doesn't have enough theology. They can't argue about it and debate about it. That's what they want. We're seeing, aren't we, how simple God is making his word, his gospel to us. And sometimes it's so simple, that's why we miss it. And I don't see anything complicated what Jesus was saying to Peter when he called him back. There was nothing complicated about that. And yet it was the greatest theology that he was revealing to Jesus and to the church. Often, God's greatness is revealed in such simplicity. That's the amazing thing. And that is why the humble who have their knees bowed in God's presence are the ones who hear and listen and respond and act and so on. And what we hear tonight is God calls us to a devotional walk with him first and foremost, putting him first, seeking him, going into our closet and seeking him for the day. And when we learn that principle and put that principle in operation, everything will stem from that. That's the amazing thing. You see, Jesus' primary concern was the will of his Father, not to the needs of the people. You see, his obedience served the people. Because he was putting the will of his Father first and not the needs of the people, hence he was able to serve God's people. Because it was the Father doing it in and through him by the Spirit. We've got it all so wrong today. Or we want to go out and work for the Lord, but we're not willing to serve. And to work that servant-like heart and nature within us takes a lifetime. It takes a continual humility and bowing of our knee continually in God's presence. It's putting the Lord first. We know that Jesus walked like this because many times they didn't understand the way he walked. Many times it appeared as though he came on the scene late. How often do you find in your life and your walk that it seems it's too late? It's happened. The Lord should have come 2 days ago or a week ago. This wouldn't have happened. How often have we experienced that? Of course we have. Because God's showing us we walk by faith and not by sight. God will always be late 9 times out of 10. But it's always his perfect timing. Because his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And so it goes on. No. God is teaching us to serve with a passionate heart. What does it say in John 12, verse 24. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. How much more, and how much more value are you than these birds? So that's the principle he's teaching us all the time. He's called us to a devotional walk, to put him first in relationship. And when you get that right, everything else will flow from that. And all the needs that are needed in this world, which God knows, everything will flow from that. When we put God first, then he enables us to serve with a passionate heart, to serve the body of Christ, and not to be served all the time. This is where saints begin to grow up and mature as sons. When we put him first, because everything else will flow from that. And this is why God is delivering the body of Christ from fears and anxieties and those things, because they hold on, they latch. They hold us in fear. How will this bill be paid? Even, well, we haven't got enough money for food this week, let alone pay the bills. The Lord is telling us to let it go. And he's delivering us from these fears and anxieties. Because all the while they're still there, we will never serve with a passionate heart the body of Christ and our brother and our sister. All the while we have fears, anxieties there, we want to be served and ministered to. But that is what he's delivering us from. As I often say, this great message, the good news of the gospel, is to deliver you from self. Because our self is our worst enemy. And the enemy uses self. That's where he attaches. That's where he hinders. That's where he tries to oppress us. Fear, anxiety are demons. And we're getting delivered from them. And demons will always suggest to your mind, you cannot change because that's how you are. It's your nature. You've always been like that. Your mother was like that. She was fearful and anxious. And you've taken it all on. That's how you are. That's your disposition. That's your makeup. That's the lie of the enemy. He's come to set us free. He's come to set the captives free. You are delivered by the blood of the Lamb. This is why we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and love not our lives unto death. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound heart and mind. There is no fear in the perfect love of God. And that is what he's setting us free on. He doesn't let us go, even in our trials, as we know. But why is he doing all of this? So that we can serve with a passionate heart the body of Christ in this last day. With no string attached, with no alternative motive or whatever, we simply serve because it's the one who lives in us, Jesus Christ, serving in and through us. Sadly, there's a lot of serving that goes on today with an alternative motive that is behind it. No motives, nothing. Just the love of God reaching out to a dying world. And they will respond. You mark my words. And God will lead us. And this is where we will see true witness and evangelism. This is what the church is looking for. But so much of the church today is putting the cart before the horse. They want power. They want witness. They all want to be busy, busy, busy. And this is why So many churches are not very spiritual because busy people are not very spiritual people. God has saved you not to do, but to be in His presence. And when you put Him first and relationship first, then everything will stem from that. You will not have to try. You will not have to try and do things or suggest things or, oh, this will be a good idea, let's try this. The church is full of all of that. You won't need to do that because everything that He reveals comes by revelation. It will be the Spirit of God that is doing it. That is why it's not by might nor by power, it's by My Spirit, says the Lord. He is the one that reaches out and touches. That is why we get out of the way. We are the hindrance to the Holy Spirit moving and leading and guiding. But He is determined in the last days before He comes for the church that the church will be restored back under apostolic faith and anointing, and that apostolic faith and anointing is to serve with a passionate heart your brother, your sister, your neighbor, and yes, even your enemy. Yes, it's going that extra mile. That is the revelation of Christ's body for the last days. And that will sort out the men from the boys. That will sort out those who are disciples, who have chosen to follow the Lord, who put their hands to the plow. They're not looking back, but their eyes are consumed in seeking the kingdom of God and looking to Jesus, who is the author, finisher of our faith. That is what He's looking for now in the last days. And He's got a remnant, and I take comfort. There's a remnant here tonight. How do I know? Because I see it here in this room. Who love the Lord, who love His word, who are devoted to Him, who seek Him first in relationship. That's how I know. Because sometimes we think we're on our own. Sometimes we think, Lord, how many are there who really love You, who really seek You first? Sometimes we think we're the only ones. Well, we're not, brothers and sisters. He's got a remnant, and we can take comfort. And that's why, even in this room tonight, with all these names, no, it's not a huge amount, but there's a remnant here who are devoted to Him, and who choose to serve Him with a passionate heart. Praise God. Praise God for His word. Praise God for what He's doing in our hearts, changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. We were once dead, like those dead old graves, but He's spoken life into those bones, and they're coming alive in these last days. This is why this message is a good message. The gospel is the greatest message man will ever hear on earth. And that's why we can take comfort and we can rejoice. And that's why we've come into this room tonight, not to take, but to serve, to encourage, and to encourage one another. That's what these meetings are about. This is what this room is about. Not to take, but to give. Because that's the nature and the heart of Jesus. And when you yield over to Him, you will watch the life of Christ in you reaching out. You will be amazed what He can and He will do. How you will find yourself moving beyond yourself, moving into the realm of the Spirit that you never thought possible. But it's all the while we get out of the way that He takes over. That is the key to this every time. And that's what the Lord was saying to Peter. You go, tend to My sheep. You feed My sheep. He obviously knew saying that, that the Lord would equip him in which to do that, because it couldn't be achieved otherwise. And that's why the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so important, because He baptizes us and enables us in which He can then work in and through us. It can't be done otherwise without the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So there we are, brothers and sisters. Serve with a passionate heart. That is what I believe the message is tonight, that God has given to us. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Heavenly Father, we again thank You for Your precious word. We thank You, Lord, that You have given us life in Christ. You've held nothing back. Of Your fullness, of all of us, each of us have received. And Father, we ask, Lord, that this word tonight, You will make it live within us. And whatever it takes, Lord, work this in our hearts. We want the life of this word living in and through each one of us. That we in this last day will serve with a passionate heart, that is the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. That You will enable us to love the unlovable. You will enable us, Father, to minister not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Lord, we need to see this restored again in the last days. And we are in the times of restoration. You are restoring the body of Christ. You are bringing Your people back under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ and under the blood of the Lamb. You are restoring faith, the apostolic faith. You are restoring again the ministries of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher for the perfecting and the maturing of the saints and for the ministry and so on. Lord, we thank You for this. Father, thank You tonight for this meeting. Thank You for this room. Thank You that Your word has gone to the four corners of the earth. Lord, we just praise and thank You for all of this in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, praise God. The Lord has been faithful. And I believe He's spoken to us again. It's a very simple message. But very often the simple things are the most profound. And just let Him work it. Let it be your desire. Let it be your confession. Let it be your asking. I believe these are the right things that He's showing us to ask for. And He'll work it and He'll give it. And everything else, all the menial things, the things of the world, food, money, bills, all those things, God will provide. Don't become anxious about any of this. Just be consumed with what is the most important thing, and that is your devotion, your walk, your commitment with the Lord Jesus Christ. Open up to Him. He's there. He wants to share with you. He wants to talk with you. He wants you to hear great things. He wants to hear Him say to you, "Go and feed My sheep."
Sweetie! sin.